He helps us go against the tide. Or mushrooming opposition. I'm just so thankful to God that he is who he is. Regardless of what season or what time that we're going through, God is truly a promise keeper. Amen. 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 I think I'm going to hold the announcements towards the very end. Amen. I think we need to hear the word from the Lord. Thank you, singer, so much. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. He's a promise keeper. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We honor you. We bless your holy name. We thank you, Lord God, for everything that you're doing in our lives, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that the spirit of encouragement flow through this place. Spirit of focus, Heavenly Father, on you. Lord God, we thank you for the land that you have given us. We thank you, Lord God, that you have kept your promise, though it may tarry. Give us the strength to wait on it. For you are our firm foundation. You are our deliverer and our sustainer, even in a dry and weary land. We thank you, Lord God, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. This morning's scripture is going to come from out of Numbers chapter 13, verses 25 through 33. It's a lot of scriptures, but if you listen very closely, it's going to make a lot of sense to you, because I believe this is a great time to actually focus on what the word of the Lord is saying. I also believe that after so many weeks and maybe even the last month or so of having messages that focus us on us individually, it's time to turn that individual need outward and upward. Numbers 13, verse 25 through 33 says, in verse 25, when they returned from spying out the land at the end of the 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran, at Kadesh, and they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told him and said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey. And this is the fruit. This is the evidence that this is a great place." Verse 28, "Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, giants of old." Verse 29 says, "Amalek is living in the land of Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country. And the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. We cannot relate with them. They won't come to church. No matter how many flyers that we pass out, they won't buy into the vision. No matter how many innovations that we have, they will not support, even though we have integrity." So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone and spying out is a land that devours its inhabitants. It's a land that ministries cannot thrive in. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw Nephilim. The sons of Anak are a part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." Hallelujah. The title of this morning's message is, and this is directly to divine truth, not only in here, but also online, as you go through the end of your spring break, can we be great? Can we be great? Hallelujah. Can we be great? Not can I be great? We got that part. Can we be great? Thank you. In Numbers chapter 13, thank you, Lord, Moses was commissioned by God to select 12 leaders from the 12 tribes of Israel to survey and spy out the promised land. Upon their return, they reported that this land, also known as Canaan, was found to be a place that was flowing with milk, honey, lush fruits the size of a person's head, and water, which are optimal for people to start families, work, and build communities, all to the glory of God. It was a fertile land. It was a land that was pure. It was a land that was ripe for the taking. However, the rest of the report stated that this place had a dark side, one filled with enemies that were in and around the promised land. For example, there were enemies in the mountains consisting of the Amorites, the Jebusites, and Hittites. Enemies along the waters of the Mediterranean and Jordan, which were the Canaanites. And finally, the Amalekites in the south, which were the strongest enemies of them all, because they were evil and gigantic in size. When you think of the Amalekites, think of Goliath and his brothers, or King Og of Bashan. Think of the angels that came into the daughters of men, and that was the reason why the flood was happening in the first place, is because they did detestable things. And some people believe that all the giants were washed away, and they were, but that does not mean that the demons or the demonic angels did not continue doing their dastardly deeds and still continued to come into the daughters of men. And that's how you had giants at that moment in time, even after the flood. So it was very intimidating. It was unfamiliar. The cities were fortified. The people were going on about their business. And the individuals that were spying out the land, matter of fact, 10 of them, 10 of the tribes, 10 of those leaders said, we can't do it, even though God said that we could. If it were placed in modern times, for those of you that really don't get the whole ancient world thing this morning, it would be equivalent to us being handed a deed for the land in this particular area that had water, sewage, great schools, a spirit-filled church, wonderful housing, and several places to shop for food and clothing. And we had the God of all heaven's armies with us. But there are evil and unproductive people who are sitting on that same land, sitting around that same land, on our stuff, around our stuff, that have power, influence, and money. They have entrenched themselves with the people here, and they have a mindset that I will not help you because no one helped me. I will not trust you, because the last time the preachers came through here, they took all of what we had, and we don't have anything to show for it except for a brand new apartment complex. Not only that, they won't move out just because we showed up. And when we do show up, they are daring us to try and take it away. I'm giving you a picture of people of God. Even as you look at the graphic on the screen, I'm letting you know right now that you have to take off your tears and take off your sackcloth and ashes, and you have to put on your fatigues this morning. You have to take off how you're feeling and take off what's just going on at the household. You have been equipped properly. You know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You have the authority and power over the devil. You see things that are coming together. You're in a ripe and fertile environment to learn the word of God, to get direction in your life. Now we have to understand that we have to go from just being disciples to discipling others. Amen. To not only just being influenced by the people of God in the house of God, but also going out and influencing the world and not allowing for your personality to dictate whether or not you speak to someone. Numbers 14, verse 3 through 10 says, why is, and see, let me kind of give you the backstory or part two to this. You see, Moses and Aaron were all around the people of God as they were meandering their way through the wilderness, but they heard a promise that went all the way back to the time of Abraham. Abraham didn't really have any instructions from God because God called him to just hear his voice and follow his voice. He said to Abraham, just go, and when you get there, I'll let you know when you arrive. That's intimidating. And so that same type of a voice that pushed Abraham from out of the land of Ur and the Chaldees and away from his family that was so familiar with things and we worshiped the moon was the same type of voice that pushed Moses and the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land. Back past the bitter waters of Marah, past all of the different types of vipers and scorpions that were inside of the land, past any type of enemies that were there. There was cactus all over the place. There was no food. There was no water. It was just manna from heaven. It was only the bread of life. It was only God that sustained them. And now the people are grumbling and mumbling. They're weary. They're in a new church right now. They're in a new surroundings. And they see all of what God has done, but yet there's still complaints. It still feels like we're not truly understanding the moment or the season that we're in. That's how they felt, and that's how I believe a couple of us still feel in this particular place. And this is where the question comes from in verse 3 and Numbers 14. It says, why is the Lord bringing us to this church? To fall by the sword? Why in the world did the Lord bring us to Castleberry? Why in the world did God put us in between the border, right on the border between Altamont Springs and Castleberry? Just to fall by the sword, just to fail, just to close our doors. Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Oloma? Back into the past, it would be better for us to go back to our old church, our old way of doing things. Verse 4 says, so they said to one another, let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt. Lord have mercy. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of all the assembly of the congregation of the sons of Israel. Frame that. Verse 6, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes. Tearing your clothes means an act of frustration. In other words, they gave an outward visible symbol of what they felt like on the inside. I'm so frustrated with these people that have been equipped. They're educated. They know the word of God. They've been fed. They understand the land. They surveyed the land. They penetrated the deep and dark places of this particular community. And now we're talking about going back. So they tore their clothes in disgust because they could actually see that God and his promise our reality. It's within reach. But they still have a way to go. They have individuals that can't put, I can't understand that you can't put new wine into old wineskins. And they spoke all to the congregation of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. Divine truth, this area is an excellent area. We have everything that we need. From the people that have given us favor, from the people that are in the government, city officials, government officials, law enforcement, the community at large, we're being sought out. We're being looked at, but we're still illegitimate in some folks' eyes. not quite big enough, don't have enough people just yet, not worthy of being shared on Facebook. I have people here that have been here for years, and the people still don't know where you go to church. I want you to look at these three reactions. First of all, we have the first group of reactions that was in verse 3, and that illustrates the reaction of the people. That's the first category. The second category was the reaction of Moses and Aaron. And then the third category was the reaction of Joshua and Caleb. Let me break it down to you. See, when the people heard the report that it was good land, but them folk don't go to church down there. See, when you hear a survey like that, or when you know that there's enemies that are there, watch this. When they heard the report, they ignored all of the good part. They just focused on the difficulties. And as a result, they wanted to go back to what they were used to and who they used to follow. In other words, they wanted to turn back. Can we just go back? I said Maitland and Aloma. Maitland was the place where we first started. It was at the Maitland Civic Center. We had brown chairs, one microphone or a couple of microphones, a projector screen, and it was just us four or five and no more. Those are good times, but they were also frustrating times. Do we need to go back there? Well, how about for a lot of you, Aloma Avenue? Aloma Avenue was a great place. It was wonderful. We started off in the storefront and we expanded there. We had great time. We were touching people. There's someone at the back door, people of God. There was a great time. People were just really, really moving forward. But then all of a sudden, we were uprooted, and then we had to move into a different area. So when the people found out that we were coming here, and then we began to look at the land, now we're talking about, well, maybe we should just move to a smaller place. Maybe we could be more effective. Maybe we should just slow down and stop because we could be more effective. Yes, I heard that the area over there by Wynwood Park is a hard piece of land. And it's hard to reach certain individuals because they have seen so much and been through so much. There's hard individuals that are over here in Castleberry. They don't all look like us and they don't act like us. And they've been established and they understand that there's things that have been changing. So is the answer to turn back? To downsize, to quit, even though God has been good to us? I think not. That was the first reaction. Then the second reaction was when Moses and Aaron heard the report, they buried their hands in the sand and froze. They froze. So you mean to tell me that now that we're in this community, now that we're preaching the word of God, now that we're sharing the gospel, now that we're starting to grow influence, and you hear some bad news such as, well, their people ain't showing up like they need to, and they're not supporting like how they need to. Let me just go ahead and bury my head in the sand and not go anywhere. The first group of people was like, well, maybe I need to go back to my old bad church. Maybe I need to go back to my old bad neighborhood. Maybe I need to go back to my old bad lover, but because at least I knew them. At least I was familiar with them. Okay, well, you got out of that situation. You're not going to go backwards, but now you just stand where you are, and you're not making any progress. You're in a time of limbo. That's exactly what Moses and Aaron did. I had to look at the text twice because I thought that they just put their hands heads down in the sand and they were worshiping God. But no, they put their heads in the sand towards the congregation. In other words, they were bowing to the people that were there that wanted to go backwards. And so they were now like, I don't know what to do. So the people wanted to turn back. Moses and Aaron, the leader that saw and did great exploits, that went through all of the 10 plagues of Egypt, that went through the dividing of the waters of the Red Sea, and now they're frozen. Maybe we don't need to do anything else this year. Maybe we should go into maintenance mode. We're comfortable. We finally start paying our bills. I'm just letting you know, divine truth. We finally can fill one side of the church up. we finally got a couple of posts online. We finally have a couple of meetings. We finally do a couple of things. Folk are finally starting to serve. They're starting to get it. Maybe, just maybe, we should just stay where we are. We no longer need to try to reach out to people that don't want to hear from us right now. An old man told me that good is the enemy of great. Divine truth, can we be great? Can you take the time to not just focus on your own personal needs and battles and use which your God gave you? Shake what God gave you. Stir up the gift that is on the inside of you. All of us have issues. All of us have problems. All of us have circumstances. But we cannot perpetually stay inward to where it's only about us. And the only reason why I come to church is because I am going through. You have to learn how to pray and watch. You have to learn how to lap the water, just like the mighty men of valor that were around Gideon's circle, and still have an eye on the conquest ahead. So Moses and Aaron just wanted to stay where they are. I'm comfortable. I'm familiar with the chaos. My household is in a shambles. The community is in a shambles, but at least it's my shambles. At least it's my mess. And then when Joshua and Caleb heard the report, they wanted to fight for what God has given them. That was their reaction. In other words, they wanted to move forward. I'm moving forward. They was just like, you know what? They tore their clothes. They was like, I'm just tired of being still. I'm tired of a group of folk that just want to turn back. I'm tired of just staying where we are. I think that we need to move forward. And they went on to say the following: if the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey, where we got favor with the mayor, where we got favor with the police officer, where we got favor with the owners of this particular property, and eventually we will become owners of the property by faith. We have favor, we have sustenance, we have talented people that are inside of leadership. But there's still a few of us that want to go back. Do you not realize that even when we moved to this place, we lost half of our people because we were going too fast and it seems like we were growing too large? That sounds crazy to me, that better is intimidating, that being in a good relationship is so shocking to the system that it doesn't make any sense. It's like being abused for the entire time of your life, and then a good man comes into your life and you basically beat that individual down until you can't even hear them any longer. It's like you have a good woman in your life, but because of the way that Sheila treated you 15 years ago, you just can't see yourself as embracing anybody that God has sent you, and then you mess over it. Divine truth, we cannot mess over what God has given us. We can't mess over the opportunities. We can't think that just because we opened up a daycare that that's all that we're going to do. We got two more to open. And we're going to try to do it within the next 2 years. And that's not going to be the end of it. We're going to try to open up a restaurant. And it doesn't matter if the folk on the end of Altamont or on the end of Castleberry don't support. God will send the individuals from wherever he wants to in order to support. The support will come. It will happen. We will move forward, but we can't look back. We can't stay where we are. We cannot worry about people thinking that we're illegitimate because we're not on TV or we don't have 5,000 seats inside of our church. That's like an old type of mindset, which equivocates to, if there's a lot of people there, that must mean that God is there. Put it this way: with the few people that we have, and we have this, that lets me know that God is here. Amen. Because there is no way that we can do what we're doing if it was not for him. So was not for him. So Joshua says, if the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey, with mayors, with police officers, with favor throughout the city, with people seeking us out, with positions inside of community groups, with positions inside of different types of community organizations, with influence, with increased finances. God has already given it to us, but I wanted to let you know about verse number 9. Verse number 9 says, only do not rebel against the Lord. Minister Jordan said the other night, why would you want to be disobedient? Being disobedient. Let me go even deeper. A partial obedience is complete disobedience. So just doing a little bit what God said is totally disregarding all of what God said. So you just can't do it halfway because you don't feel like it. What do you mean feel like it? I'm talking about feeling like taking exactly what God has given to us. It's not going to be easy. I'm getting ahead of myself. It says, only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Yes, there are dignities. Yes, they're dignitaries. Yes, they're individuals. It used to be a season and time where I would not talk to anybody. I would just preach the word, talk to the people in the congregation, and wouldn't even talk to anybody out into the community. Even though I have a master's degree, 2 master's degrees, went to college educated, went to doctorate school, all this other type of stuff, I still would not talk to people because I felt like I was unqualified to speak to the masses. I looked like a grasshopper in my own sight. And so as the leader goes, so as the people go. We got so much talent in this room. We have people that have all types of wonderful jobs in this room. We have a high employment rate in this room. We have people that love God in this room. But we also have people that want to turn back in this room. We have people that want to stay where they're at in this room. And my goal and my desire is that we all move forward because of the people in this room. We have to. We must do it. We can't stay where we are. We're needed. Not just me that's being needed, but we are all needed. But we can't rebel against God. We can't be fearful of talking to somebody that is from a government that's from the government that does not always say God, but they know how to say a higher power. We can't be afraid of being able to speak truth to power. We cannot be afraid of dealing with people and dealing with business and industry. We can't be afraid of just of saying to people that we're not just going to be a community services organization. That's what the world wants. The world understands that they want the church to just serve the community and do community service, but don't speak about hell, death, and the grave. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. I can hand out bags to the homeless and tell you at the same breath that you're going to hell unless you get right with God. But there is a Savior named Jesus that can deliver you from out of your sin. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can open up 2 businesses and tell somebody about Peter, Paul, and Mary. We can open up different types of schools and still let the governor know that you have to serve the Lord and in the power of his might and do not lean to your own understanding. We can still impact people inside of the community. We can impact individuals that are people of color as well as people who are from the white community and black community and still say the word of the Lord. We don't have to just box ourselves in and just stay in one moment. We don't have to just depend on one person. We have to depend on God. So the text says that Joshua said that they will be our prey instead of them devouring us through legislative acts and passing things and eminent domain. Oh, I'm saying some big words, but that's what the world says. The people say that they don't really want to deal with the church world because the church world doesn't understand all that stuff. They're not wise, but we have to be just as wise as the world, but all to the glory of God. So they're going to be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Do not fear talking to strangers. You may have been grown up inside of your neighborhood and you were told not to talk to strangers. Don't talk to strangers. And then as you got older, you don't talk to strangers.
And the gospel specifically said that when you are saved and when you are delivered and when you're set free, then you're supposed to preach the gospel to every living creature, every living thing on the entire planet. That does not mean Pastor Martin. I don't see the word Pastor Martin right before that sentence. Or yo pastor with two S's. It says those that know God, those that are saved, by all means do it in your own methodology. Just do it. By all means share the gospel in your own custom, but still just do it. Verse 10 says, but all the congregation, look at this reaction, said to stone them with stones. So you mean to tell me that Joshua and Caleb, picture this, picture the scene. Joshua and Caleb are both standing there looking at a large group of complaining people. They're one of the crowd. They're one of the lay leaders. At the same time, they see their pastor, first lady, a pastor and assistant pastor with their head in the sand. At the same time, they see the promised land. At the same time, they see enemies in the promised land. At the same time, they see the 10 individuals that were a part of their entire group that also saw the fire by day and the cloud by night, or the cloud by day and the fire by night. They saw all of this stuff, and they still are saying we can move forward. That's a crazy scene. A group of people that are scared and want to go back. Two leaders that have their head in the sand because they don't want to face the people and they're just frustrated with the situation. So they watch this. Putting your head in the sand means to just check out. Bump it. Now I put my head in the sand. But Joshua and Caleb, they was like, no way. It's like they're tearing their clothes and out of frustration, but in the spirit, it's almost like them being like Superman and opening up and then you see an S on their chest. Because they had a different type of spirit. They had a different spirit. A spirit not one of lack, not one of turning back, not one of freezing, not one just trying to get by and being mediocre. No. God has told us to buy land before gentrification comes through Altamont Springs. Before the bulldozers come, before Altamont starts looking like Crane's Roost. God has told us to possess the land. But we have to move forward, and it has to be all of us together. Who would you rather have the note to your house? The government or a church filled with integrity? Who would you rather get a loan from? A church that has a credit union or some folk that are just trying to lift up interest rates? Credit union, church owned credit union? Why not? Why not? Why is it difficult? Is it really difficult? Suffice to say, it's not difficult. The truth of the matter is, people of God, is that when you start looking at people throwing stones, it could be intimidating. Stones represent judgment. In other words, if we start worrying about what people think about us, then we'll tuck tail and run as well. If we start worrying about what is being posted about us, if we get into the mindset that the only reason why I come to church is because I don't want to feel guilty, or because the pastor keeps on asking, you don't get it. You don't get what we are trying to do. The truth of the matter is that we have to go beyond that. We have to go into the presence of the Lord, and we have to see things at a higher and deeper level. So in verse 10 it says, but all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of the meeting to all the sons of Israel. So we have in the first category, all the people are complaining, saying we need to go back to Egypt. We need to go back to the old way. We need to go back to the old church. We need to go to what's familiar. We need to know, go what's comfortable. We need to go back to the ex-lover that was beating us. We need to go back to the old place that was abusing us. We need to go back to the old situation because we know it. At least I know that devil. I don't know God, but at least I'm familiar with the devil that I once escaped from. That's the first group of people. Then you got the second group of people, which are the leaders. It wasn't just Moses only, it was Moses and Aaron. So it was like a pastor and his staff. And they put their heads in the sand because the people are complaining and murmuring. I can see how it could be discouraging because you've seen God move mightily. It was not only Moses, but it was also Aaron. Aaron was speaking for Moses because Moses had a stuttering problem, and they moved mightily. And sometimes it's exhausting when you make it so far. And the people have seen so much revelation. The people have seen dynamic ministry. They've seen the thing. They've seen great exploits. They've seen that we're no longer should be just the best kept secret. And the people complain anyway. But then you have to move forward like Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. They all heard the same report. But instead of focusing on the negative or how much money that we don't have, how many people that we don't have, how many hookups that we don't have. I've never seen as much clout chasing in the church that I have been seeing today. Amen. You have celebrities that are switching from being singers to preachers all because the album sales are not going forward. And you got a flock of young people that are coming up to them, not because they want God, but because they want to get put on. Because if I know them, then maybe they'll bring me in the studio. Not even realizing that we're in a city where entertainment is the norm. But like Samson, when the world looks at you as an entertainer, they'll leave you anyway. So we're not here to entertain. We're not here to perform. I'm not here to dance and at the flute. I'm not here to shuck and jive across the in front of the pulpit. I'm not here to just do things and just to tickle your fancy just to try to keep you up until 12:30 because now you have a grumbling stomach in the middle of service. It's deeper than that. We have to go further than that. We have to go harder than that. But all the congregation said to stone them. They didn't say stone Moses and Aaron because their head was in the sand. So if you don't want to lead, nobody's going to target you. If you want to stay where you are and not try anything different, nobody's not going to say anything to you. But as soon as you stand up and say, hey, why not divine truth having to credit you? Why can't we go ahead and look at the an old restaurant and build it? Every single time I pass by that old club, they used to call it Fourth Club, 436. Every single time I pass by, I always pray and I say, God, if it be it within your will, yes, God. Drop the price lower or increase us internally so that we can buy that land before the government comes. Turn it into something that will be a jewel for the community. See, when you talk big and large like that, sometimes it's a shock to the system because our minds are trained to just be into love and hip-hop. Oviedo. Love of hip-hop, Altamont Springs. Just for this moment and time. Just to be about Black Bomb. It's just about what's going on there. But there's a bigger world out there. There's more to see. There's more to do. God has not just called us to just be in this area, but also to be global. But it all starts at home first. So yes, we see the stones. Yes, we see what's going on. But then what happens at the very end of verse 10 is that then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of the meeting to all the sons of Israel. Now, I have a question. I was wondering, why in the world did God choose that moment in time to show up? He didn't show up when the people were complaining. So that lets me know that God doesn't show up when you complain. God doesn't show up when you complain. Not only that, God didn't show up when the leaders put their head in the sand. So God sometimes isn't there and won't be there if you just want to stay where you are. God shows up when two individuals said, "We are well able to take the land." Because the first two situations were not God's promise. God didn't make a promise to the children of Israel that you all need to go back to Egypt. So he wasn't going to empower them to go backwards. God was not, or did not make a promise for them to stay where they were. So he's not going to show up if you don't do anything. God showed up when the people, just a couple of them, understood that the promise was yet at hand. Then he popped up and then he's beginning to shake up the entire thing. And the funny thing about it is that God was getting ready to kill him. He was like, "Y'all people just don't understand. I want to end the ministry tomorrow because you're not going to move any further." But thanks be to God that Moses and Aaron pulled their heads from out of the sand, began to look around and began to plead with God, say, "Please, Lord, please let our ministry continue to go forward. Please let us do what we need to do. We're not going to be scared. I'm going to lead them. I'll do it. It's almost like they were getting a whooping. So Moses and Aaron understood that God showed up, all because Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit to move forward, to not be intimidated by the empty seats, to not be intimidated by the television preachers, to not be intimidated by government officials, to not be intimidated by business officials that have been around for 30 years and then all of a sudden you show up. The truth of the matter is, people of God, that some people don't like to be all that God wants them to be. They want to be led back into what's familiar, even if it's in bondage. An old flame, bondage. Old church, bondage. Old habits, bondage. Old mindset, bondage. With a leader to match. They not only said we want to turn back, but let us find a leader that will help us go back into bondage. So that lets me know that sometimes, even if you're not planted and rooted in the house of the Lord, you can choose you a leader that could take you back. Put you in a dire straits and have your mind twisted all over again. But because it's familiar, it's comfortable. Relationships are not the only ones that have Stockholm syndrome. Stockholm syndrome is where the abuser has this weird relationship with the abused. In other words, the abused actually loves the one that has been hurting them and becomes close to them because they didn't beat them today. So that must mean that they're taking it easy. You didn't get cussed out this particular week, but for the last 10 years, you did. So this particular week, because you had a honeymoon, now you feel you're going to stay around another 5 years. Likewise, inside of the church world, sometimes we go back into old abusive situations because that's what we love, not knowing that that's actually a toxic relationship. So that's when God wanted to do something. Some people know what God has told them to do, but when faced with opposition, they freeze. Clap your hand. No. They freeze. They don't move. They don't want to go back, but they're too scared to move forward. So they stay in limbo while everyone is waiting for them to make a move. That's what Moses and Aaron did. They put their heads in the sand before the congregation while they were still complaining. The congregation is looking at them, waiting to see what they're going to do next. They just froze. They don't know if they should go back or go forward. It's kind of like a politician. How can I bifurcate? Or how can I be on both sides of the line? I can't please everybody, but I'm going to stay in the greasy gray in the middle to make everyone think like I'm on everybody's side, but you can't be on everybody's side. Amen. If you're on the fence, that means you're actually lukewarm. So they don't want to go back. They're too scared to move forward, so they stay in limbo while everyone is waiting for them to make a move. But there are a few folk in this place, just like there were a few folk back then, that will move forward knowing that the journey ahead will be difficult, but they see it's worth fighting for. Even if the people that are with them want to hold them back. No matter if there are people even inside of this particular area that want to throw stones at them. Oh, they're not big enough, so we're not going to pay no attention to them. They're not strong enough, so we're not going to pay no attention to them. They don't know us. We've been here for 45 years. And if I don't know them, I ain't going to talk to them. It doesn't matter. As long as we continue to move forward and we don't have people in this house holding us back, we can go into all that God has for us. And that's when God showed up. That's when God shows up. God shows up when you are scared, when you are shaking in your boots, when you just feel like you have all these things going on in your mind and you still move forward anyway. When you don't have the money and you move forward anyway, when you don't have your boot and you move forward anyway, when it doesn't feel like anybody loves you and you move forward anyway. When you don't have a 799 credit score and you apply anyway, that's when God shows up. God does not show up when you want to go backwards. If you're looking for God to show up for you to go back into Egypt, you ain't going to find him there because he was never there to begin with. Egypt represents the world. Egypt represents the world system. People always try to get blessed by God in the devil's house. No, God brought you out of that situation for a reason. He brought you out of that situation for a purpose. But now that he brought you out, you don't need to look back. They said, no more manna. We don't want no more of what God wants to give to us right now. We want flesh. I want to go by my emotions. I want to go by what I see and not by what you said. But I ask you the question, can we be great? We got to get out of our bed sheets and put on fatigues. We got to get out of just crying in the pillow and we got to wipe our eyes. We just got to get out of being out of our comfort zone and just doing things over and over again and desiring a different result and actually do something that is different. Amen. See, when you get into the promise of God, that's when he shows up. Not when they wanted to turn back, not when they wanted to freeze, but when they were willing to fight and put trust in God and in his word. Let me make it plain because I don't think you get it just yet. See, God made a promise that you would have X, Y, or Z. That you would have a husband, that you would have a business, that you would be able to flow in your ministry, that you would get promoted, that you would have happiness and Teletubbies all over the place. But then when you get close to that, when you actually can see the promise, you see that there are people who have what belongs to you. And not only that, there are giant-sized issues that are present, some of which been around for years. You try to apply to go to college, but then something pops up. You try to move out the neighborhood, but then something pops up. You try to have a wonderful relationship, but then something pops up. Some old demons, some old giant situations, some things from your past. Then they begin to pop up, and now you have second thoughts. Upon seeing this, you get discouraged. Here we go again. I was in service and I applied. I did what the preacher said and I moved forward. I'm moving forward. I won't look back. Won't go back to the way that things used to be because I got that. I got the songs in my heart. I put out all the applications on Monday and then I got no responses. Now I'm discouraged. Now I can't go forward. No one's buying into my business. No one is supporting me. People just look at me as some old crazy preacher that is ignorant and just into religion and just into spirituality. I got enough spirituality. I got enough religion. Got good religion? Certainly, Lord. So you get discouraged. And then as the saying goes, never try, never fail. That's my motto. You become small in your thinking. And then you talk yourself out of a blessing because you didn't think that you would have to fight for what God promised you. And now you're faced with three options. Turn back, stay where you are, or move forward. Can we be great? You can't be great standing still. Amen. And you can't be great turning backwards. You can't be scared and great at the same time. Amen. That's where faith kicks in. We like to say in church, we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, if you want to be great, you have to really believe that and do it. The good news is, however, that God has strategically planned for your mindset. He has a strategic plan for your thoughts of fear, doubt, and unbelief. He understands that. He understood that Moses and Aaron was going to see these things in the back of the day. And so that's the reason why God, just like he sent a few folk to Moses, he'll send a few folk in your life. Even that crazy man that has thinning hair up in the front of the pulpit is trying to be your Caleb and Joshua. Because I can let you know right now, I'm not a Moses and Aaron at all. I believe that we can do some things. I believe that we don't have to wait on certain things. I believe that we can do what we need to do. I believe that we don't have to wait for a grant. I believe that we have exactly what we need on the inside of this house. Amen. To be able to move forward. To be able to stretch our wings. I've seen the progress. I've seen the growth. And growth is not always numerical. Growth is internal first, and then it begins to branch out. Then it begins to reach out. I've seen more of you all pray this year than I've ever seen prayed before in my life. Amen. With the results to match. Yes. But you can't freeze there. You have to continue to move forward. I've seen some of you do some courageous things despite what your family is saying, despite your past situation, despite your plain circumstances, despite health issues, despite financial issues. I've seen you move forward, but you can't stay there. Can we be great? I believe that we can. Amen. And even as I close, Moses and Aaron wanted to watch and pray. That's all they wanted to do. Have you ever heard how the people of the world like to say, enough of your thoughts and prayers, we need to actually do something? I actually agree with that. Because we don't want to mistaken thoughts and prayers for actual laziness. You have to watch, pray, and do something. The part that you cannot do, that's when God steps in. But if you don't do no stepping, then God is going to say, get the step. So Moses and Aaron, they just wanted to watch and pray. But Joshua and Caleb wanted to enter the promise. In other words, Joshua, watch this, was from the tribe of Ephraim. And Caleb was from the tribe of Judah. Ephraim, watch this, means increase. So Joshua was used to being in an environment, being in a culture of increase. And Judah means praise. It means salvation of the Lord. So Judah Caleb came from Judah. And so Caleb was used to an environment of praise and worship and knowing that he is saved. So you see the two environments, an environment of increase, an environment of praise. An environment of increase, an environment of praise. But we have people that come from an environment of lack, an environment where they don't praise God. But we say, God enlarge our territory, but we want to enlarge our words, our way of thinking, the way that we carry ourselves. I graduated from high school with a 2.3 GPA. I did not have any scholarships. All I had was student loans, and I got accepted to a historically black college and university because that was the only place that I was accepted. And now, even years later, sometimes I think back to that moment of how God was so good and he was merciful to even allow for me to get into school, because you can't even get into many schools with that type of GPA. But God began to work with me and work with my mind. And he said, oh, I'm not just going to go by that particular point in time in your life. I want you to see the end result. And now many of my people that came from out of college that had straight A's and all through college, now I'm actually doing better than many of them. And here's the thing. It's not arrogant to actually say that, because I know from whom my help comes from. I'm here because of God. I have what I have because of God. God has given me the fair advantage. I won't say favor isn't fair. Favor is fair, because everything that comes from God is good, is pleasant, and it is fair. It's only unfair to the devil, but it's not unfavorable, or it's not unfair to God. So God wanted Joshua and Caleb to enter into the promise, and he wants you to do the same thing. But you have to have a mindset of increase and a mindset to praise God every step of the way, even though you may still be in the wilderness. They saw the promise, but they were not in the promise. They saw the promise, but they were not in the promise. This building and this environment is not the end result. This is the start of something great.
Yes.
Can we be great? Can we let people know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior? Can we talk to people that are in this community and not be afraid of their linguistics versus our linguistics? Can we stop speaking in tongues just for a moment and come up with a business plan? Amen.
Hello.
We can walk and chew gum at the same time. So I believe, people of God, that we no longer need to look back at it like every female on Facebook today. You got some guys doing it too, I guess. So no longer will we need to look back at it. Back at Maitland, back at Aloma Avenue, or at people who have left because they got scared at the sign of greatness. People of God, we will praise God in advance for the increase. So as I conclude, can we be great and influence this community? I believe that we can. Can we be great and be all that God called us to be? I believe that we can. Can we be great and look for divine connections instead of hooking up with distractions and division? I believe that we can. Guess what, people of God? While we have everything that we need on the inside of this particular house, that's not all that we need. We need to reach outside of the four walls and reach with other godly people. We're not the only people that know God in this community, in this city. Over the last week while I was at the conference in Jacksonville, Florida, I met so many individuals. And my wife and I were just talking even this morning of how we were comfortable in our own skin, because when we first came there, it seems like everything was large and everything was overwhelming. We couldn't even talk to anybody. We didn't even know how to have a conversation. Why? Because at that time, we felt like even though God placed a lot on the inside of us, the manifestation was still very small. We looked like grasshoppers in our own sight, even though God put a giant anointing on the inside of us. So then we're walking around, and all of a sudden people started coming up to us and speaking to us and exchanging phone numbers and carrying on conversations. We found one lady that's over there in Polk County that has already opened up two daycares. This is on her third, and she wants to get to know my wife. Not even realizing that that's what her dream is as well. So God has divine connections. And we're not the only people that need to get the hookups. It can be you too. For every Moses, there is an Aaron. For every Aaron, there is a Joshua. For every Joshua, there is a Caleb. There's a lot of people that will do right and that want to move forward. Can we be great and move into the promise? Can we be great? Well, let me give you a news flash. We're actually already in the promise. Divine truth. But we gotta fight. We gotta fight. Make no mistake, please understand that strength and experience comes with each blessing of victory. Strength and experience comes with every single fight. It was a fight to get the daycare open. It was a fight to plant this church here, even though so many individuals that defected. It was a fight to get our finances in order. It was a fight to be able to go past certain types of personality traits that I had for many years and branch out and talk to people that I normally wouldn't talk to. It was a fight. But we're in the promise at the same time now. We're no longer in the wilderness. We were in the wilderness and Aloma for 5 years. And then God moved us into the promise. Can't you see what's happening? I talked about the space over there next door. Can't you see what's happening? All you have to do is just peek around the corner. They're already building it out. And we didn't have to pay anything. It's almost as if God is making a way for us and telling us exactly what the next step will be. And when you're in the promise, doors begin to open. When you're in the promise, you understand God's timing. Just even as I was beginning to look at that building behind there, there's a metal door that's over a glass door. It may seem like, oh, it's just to keep out the rain. That's from the natural, but in the spirit, it just lets me know that it's not time yet. The door is there, but I haven't opened it up for you just yet. So just keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on doing what you're doing is not standing still. Keep on doing what you're doing is keep on serving, keep on loving, keep on dancing, keep on playing, keep on singing, keep on preaching, keep on teaching, keep on practicing those songs, keep on perfecting your craft in the multimedia department, keep on perfecting your craft as far as ministering to one another, keep on posting encouraging words online, keep on inviting people, you just keep on keeping on, and then God will understand and know that we have a mindset of increase. He will understand and hear our praise and our worship, and then he will put things together in his due season and due time. See, the thing about winning, people like to say, I like to keep on winning. You only win if you are in a fight. So if this is my winning season, I have never known a champion that's just 1-0. You get what I'm saying? I've never known a champion that was only 2-0. Floyd Mayweather is 40-0. And Joshua and the boys, when they understood that Moses could only take them so far, they already had a mindset, even as they were tearing their shirts, that they were going to have to fight in the promise, in order to keep the promise, in order to move all those things out of their way. So strength and experience comes with each blessing of victory. And like this, people of God, and then I'm out of your way. It is said that Joshua's troop fought over 31 battles in the land of Canaan. 31. 31 wars, people of God. 31. Some of y'all are like, man, I just fight those battles just in my own mind. But the enemy doesn't give a flip about you fighting battles in your mind. As long as you don't do nothing, he ain't gonna come after you. That's standing still. You're not a threat if you don't do anything. But as soon as you step out, get out of your feelings, get out of the me type of attitude, as you start following God, boy, oh boy, you'll start having 1-0, then 5-0, then 7-0. Then 12-0, then 30-0. And even in Joshua's case, he was actually 31-1. You missed it. There was one time, and this is a cautionary tale here. Even in your winning, the key ingredient in Joshua winning all those battles while he was in the promise is that he kept his focus on God. And when there was sin in the camp, he got out of it. He got it out of there. But there was the sin of Achish, or sin of Achan. Sin of Achan basically alludes to the story where Joshua was at the Battle of Ai. They just got tore up and just got beaten up all of Jericho, and they tore down all of those big giant walls. The spies hid with Rahab, so on and so forth, and Joshua was going to 30-0. He won the victory, and he was getting ready to go 31-0, but then there was this little city called Ai. Another group of enemies, one of the last ones, and there was sin in the camp. God told them that when you get to Ai, I want you to take care and I want you to destroy everything. Or when you come from Jericho, I want you to make sure that you destroy everything. I want you to destroy all of the enemies, all of the evil folk that are there. I want you to vanquish them because judgment has come today. And you, as my government official, are going to execute judgment in the land. So all my secular people are online. When God commits judgment against the wicked, he does render judgment, and it is harsh. And it is final. But something happened. They left a couple of things alive. So Achish went and got some resources, or Achan went and got some resources, and God told him, don't even touch what I told you to destroy. I hope you feel that. Don't even talk to him anymore. Don't even talk to her anymore. Stop picking up the phone. Talk about something. You're going to be there next Sunday when God brought you out of that situation. Stop talking about you're going to go back to that same old job that's not going to give you, but only because they're the only ones that will hire you. Don't you do that. But Joshua group did it anyway. So then when they came up to Ai, they got beat down into the ground. So much so it seems like there were tears falling off the walls. That's how strong the walls were. And they turned tail and they ran away. All because they took their eyes off of God. They were no longer undefeated. They were defeated. But the good news is that as soon as they got the sin out of the camp, as soon as they got the one who caused all the trouble out of the camp for being disobedient to God, they were able to revisit Ai, revisit the thing that defeated them, and win over that particular situation. What does that mean to me, Pastor Martin? Well, that means is that even though we're in this particular area, there are going to be some battles that we're going to win and some battles that we'll learn from, so that when we fight them again, we'll know exactly what to do. We'll know exactly what to do. Now that we, when I went through that whole fire alarm situation, I know exactly what to do when it comes to the restaurant being open. I know exactly what we need. I know exactly who we need to go to. I wouldn't know those things if I didn't get into the fight. You can't learn if you don't fight nobody. You can't learn if you don't do anything. You can't learn if you don't do anything. Can we be great? I believe we can. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you. I pray, Lord God, that this word today encourage these, your people. I pray, Lord God, that we have a mindset of increase, a mindset to give you praise, glory, and honor. A mindset of moving forward, a mindset that will lay at your feet. Lord God, teach us how to be true winners in the spirit. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. Lord God, help us to win. Lord God, help us to move forward and not turn back. Lord God, if we're in a frozen state and we're in limbo, Lord God, give us the courage to move forward even though the stones are being positioned at us. For only then will you come and enter into our situation. Let us have courage. Let us have strength. Let us keep moving forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we be great, divine truth? Yes. Oh, Lord, I don't believe that. I believe that y'all just got beat up this morning. I believe that you're still worried about what you're trying to eat. You smell the snack shack in the air. Can we be great?
Yes.
Yes, I believe that we can. I believe that we can. Amen. Amen. Well, people of God, I believe that the word was something that should have been enlightening. I pray that you understand where I was coming from. Everything has been recorded so that you can view this over and over again, because this is the season that we're in right now. I'm letting you know, people of God, even in my personal life, the promotion and the increase has been just so astounding. And the first thing that came to my mind is not to go back to Egypt because I got promoted. That's important. As the leader goes, so goes the people. And so as this congregation begins to get promoted, we don't need to go back to Egypt. We don't need to chase after folk that don't want to be a part of the vision. We don't need to continue to focus on maintenance mode. If it's us four and no more, or us 75, then we got to be live and continue to move forward. You saw what I did there? That just kind of popped out of my head. Then let's do it. Let's see what happens. Let's see what God has in store for us. Let's position ourselves as pillars of the community. A pillar means that there's going to be a great temple that's going to be built. I don't just come here and I don't just look at this side of the building. I look at the entire 16 acres worth of property. I look at the entire thing. And if this is what God has promised to us, and this is what God has shown us, then we're going to continue to follow him until those doors
Become open. Amen. Don't just show up once we start cutting the ribbon around the other side of the building. Support us now. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord in this place today. Hallelujah. 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 Well, people of God, we're done. We're on time. And I've been good today. This felt like a 1 o'clock message, but I still finished at the right amount of time. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and get a seat in your hand. It's time to give. And do we have any announcements or we're good for today? We think we're good. Okay. Okay. Well, one thing I do want to share, we don't have a large amount of announcements, but we do have one announcement as they're preparing for the snack shack. The first thing is that I need you all to pray. Pray that we get our school readiness and our VPK process, that the school readiness and VPK process is completed next week, because we have an increasing line of kids that want to sign up for our daycare. We've hired a brand new director that has been sent from heaven itself, and we got people that want to come to the church as a result of us having this daycare. But this is one battle that we need to overcome. You see what I'm saying? We're in the promise, but it's one battle. So we need for you all to pray. Pray that the process moves forward, that we get the answer this upcoming week so that we can open it up to the community. I also want you to pray for March the 30th. We're going to be out in Wynwood Park. They're going to be having a business expo. Look at that. And we're actually one of the vendors that are out there. And I may have an opportunity to be able to share with the people that are in that community on how to start a business. Pray that that door is open. You see what I'm doing? What I'm doing is that I'm not going to just allow for them to have their parties at 2 p.m. after church service is over with. We're drinking and smoking and liquoring and cussing without the preacher being present. Amen. I want to be right up there inside of the mix. I could be among them and not be like them. I'm going to let you know that, yes, we are here and I ain't going nowhere. Amen. So you pray that God opens up those doors, all right? You got a seed in your hand. As we go forward and give it, remember, there's three ways to give. The first way is by going to our website, www.divinetruthcc.org. Those are for all of you that are on vacation right now. Hi, Maras. Hi, Akile. Hi, Manny. Hopefully you go there with two and you come back with three. Everybody that's out on spring break, I hope you had a good time and things like that. Love is in the air. It's springtime. You know what they say about springtime? That's when rabbits start popping up all over the place. So you better, never mind. So the first particular way is that you go to our website. You can also do that in the sanctuary. Also, the square card, we have our kiosks that are to your left, my right. Deacon Penn is over there as well. And then finally, we have our offering envelope. It's not a collection plate. This is not collection services. This is not 1-888-888-888 number that's popping up on your phone in the middle of service. You talk about something. I'm going to pay you next week. No. No, it's offering. In other words, you give according to your heart. Amen. Give according to your heart, and then God will give the increase. All right? God bless you. Y'all can give. Go ahead. Move around. Come on around. God bless you. God keep you. I don't know why people started going outside as if service was over with. Us just, we got to stop them at the door. Let them know, hey, service ain't over with yet. What'd you do it? All right. But once again, God bless you. God keep you. We thank you for attending our service on this wonderful and blessed Sunday morning. We pray that the word touched your heart and it manifests greatly. God bless you. And we'll see you next week. Be blessed, people of God. Consider yourselves dismissed.